Welcome.
To what?
Fish farm.
Welcome to what? The Two Hosers Photo Show?
Yeah.
Say it.
Fish farm.
Is that German or English?
English.
Say it in German then. Can you say it in German? No.
Happy for the tournament. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to episode 177 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver, BC.
I bumped the mic during my intro, Adam.
Oh, let's not do it again.
I'm not doing it again, I'm just letting people know that the mic got bumped.
Okay.
You didn't hear it.
I did not.
No. What's going on, Adam? I'll give you a hint. Last we spoke...
Right.
You were heading into a long weekend.
Yes, so I'm on the tail end of that now. This is the holiday Monday.
Oh, don't tell people that we're recording it ahead of time.
Yeah.
People like to assume that we do it basically like 8 to 10 seconds before it's published. That's when we record it.
Okay, all right. Well, we're doing it then. Whatever people want, that's what we're doing.
I feel like they know now.
Okay.
It's okay. Right. So go ahead. You're at the end of the long weekend. How was your long weekend so far?
So far, very nice. Went to Victoria, came back, had lots of fun over there playing with family and cousins. And, well, I guess cousins are family, cousins and grandparents. So we had a good time. Played some mini golf.
Mini golf?
Yeah. Lots of soccer outside. My
Who'd you play mini golf with? Like with your the cousins
my
as well?
My parents. No, cousins didn't. They were still in school. We had a pro D day, teacher development day on Friday. So we had the Friday. So they've had a super long weekend here.
Okay.
So we that was just for our school board. So we went and played mini golf on Friday with my parents, the kids' grandparents. So that was fun. Yeah.
But what I want to get at was did you and your dad play a skins game?
We didn't play skins, but it was very competitive. It came down to the final hole, and every stroke was counted. So
I recommend playing skins. It's the most fun you can ever have playing mini golf is playing skins game.
Skins game is fun too.
Mm-hmm.
But we were counting strokes. So this is stroke play, and I have to say that I did win. So
okay, you got in the clown's nose in the fewest.
Yeah.
Or the castle. So, however it ends, however they keep your ball.
Yes.
That's how it goes.
Yeah. So that was fun. And yeah, I didn't bring my camera, so there was no pictures from the weekend at all. So then we came back yesterday, and I had to come up with a photo challenge. So I took a couple of pictures, and that's where I'm at.
Great.
So I did buy some new lights though. Again, I seem to be on a buying spree right now, but this was Craigslist, an unbelievable deal I could not pass up, and it was right in my neighborhood. So all the stars aligned. I was actually in Victoria looking on Craigslist Vancouver, so at my parents' house, and came across an ad for some continuous lights. And I've been talking about the video light that I bought, and I'm really liking, you know, continuous lighting. And so there was an ad that was in Steveston, so right where I live, for two soft boxes, a whole whack of continuous light bulbs, all unused. And so with the soft boxes all for $48.
Wow.
So I emailed the guy. Literally, it was one of those things where I opened it up, and it was the top ad under photography, meaning the most recent ad for Craigslist, and it was all right in my area. So I sent the guy an email, and within about 3 minutes, he emailed me back, and I said, "Oh, I'm going to be back later today. Can I come by and check it out?" And a super, super nice, quick, responsive, well-written email. So I knew I wasn't speaking to a 7-year-old or a really smart 7-year-old. But anyways, I met up with the guy and older guy who really, really was into it and wanted to chat my ear off. Kind of like what we're doing now. Yeah, but anyway, so he demoed everything, and it was all good working conditions, so I bought it, took it home, and took my photo challenge picture with it.
So you got a couple, and this is like pro gear? Who makes this?
Oh, no, it's pretty much, it looks like it was probably eBay, like, it's no name, but again, it's very, very functional for me. It's quick setup. Both soft boxes are like almost like little umbrellas, so they fold into like very small packages. They weigh next to nothing. They go up super easy, so basically they just go on top of my light stand, the soft boxes. Uh-huh. They pop open, and they have like a light switch inside them, so the soft box is all contained with the light switch, and then it's got, there's no ability to control the power up or power down. It's just what you see is what, there's no dimmer, I guess is what I'm getting at. So, and then, so it just clicks up in about 30 seconds. The softbox has like a Velcro that goes like the baffle, the diffusion layer goes on front of it in about 3.5 seconds. It just hooks on and Velcros. It is so fast. I can't believe it. And then you just put in whatever, one of these different light bulbs. So he gave me some tungsten balanced light bulbs, some big ones. They're all, the light bulbs are 150 to, I think, 200 watts, but mm-hmm. they give off a really nice soft light, and I was thrilled. Again, I only played around with it for about, I don't know, 15 minutes yesterday, but love it. I love just to be able to control exactly where you're going to see the shadows, and for shooting kids where you might not have a ton of time to get the shot, wildly, wildly helpful. So
yes.
I will definitely use these probably for taking my kid photos more often than the flash, just because, again, of setup time. And once you're set up, it's you don't have to, like I say, no recycle or anything. You can just pop off a bunch of shots and you're done, because mm-hmm. Jack cooperates for about 2.5 seconds these days.
That long, eh?
Yeah.
I'm going to get him to talk to my daughter and see if he can get her to cooperate that long.
But for the $48, like I thought when I bought it, I'm like, well, even if I get a year out of this stuff and beat the crap out of it, it's worth it to me. So yeah. So there you have it. So you can, when you come to Vancouver, you can check it all out. But I probably will be doing some photos in the near future with it, and I took a few yesterday, and I'll probably put those out on Facebook. And yeah, there you have it.
The good news is when it comes time to replace those, the bulbs in them, because they are incandescent, correct?
Some of them are and some of them aren't.
Some of them are what, CFLs?
Maybe. I haven't gone through all of them. He gave me a lot of bulbs.
Oh, really?
When he bought the stuff, he basically was like, oh, I don't know how easy it's going to be to find bulbs at a later point. So he stockpiled. So I got two bags. I probably have 20 light bulbs included, like,
holy
again,
smokes.
all different, like big round ones, some really long ones, and yeah, again, I don't even know everything that I've got in there, but it's all unused, all in the boxes and everything.
So. Oh, nice. Yeah, because generally the higher wattage ones, like your regular bulbs that are 200 watts, tend to burn out rather quickly.
Okay.
The incandescent ones anyways.
Okay.
Just compared to your 60 watt bulbs, as you can imagine. And you know, they burn hot and all that stuff, but
and these ones don't seem to burn that hot, like the big long spirally ones. Anyways,
the long spirally ones, that's going to be a compact fluorescent.
Okay, it's long, like it's, there's two of them. The ones I was using yesterday in the photos are like, I don't know, a foot long.
Yes, those are great because they put out an awful lot of light for very little power, relatively speaking. So they'll say, oh, it's the equivalent of 200 watts, but really it only uses, 34 or something like that. It's not, I'm sure it's higher than that, but it's not very high. And they burn relatively cool.
Yes.
Like, in comparison, a long time ago, I still have these lights and I use them. I have a couple that are 1,000 watts. And I have a bunch that are 500 watts.
Okay.
And they burn hot. Now they're actually car headlights in that plug in the wall. But even then you have to be careful how many you plug in, because you can get off one circuit in North America. You can get generally with a margin of error about 1500 watts. of light bulb, which translates to approximately 15 amps. Now, this is that's just like a rough meatball math, but that's how you know you can get. Once you go over 15 amps, you're going to blow that circuit.
Right.
So if you plug in, you know, 8 of your 200 watt bulbs, probably going to blow it eventually.
The other use I could see having for these lights, again, I don't do a ton of it, but just in filming or videoing my kids singing a little song or something, the softbox light will be wildly improved over what I can do currently. So
likely.
So I'm excited about at some point doing some video with the lighting setup.
Okay. Do you want me to give you the spoiler alert now, or do you want to be surprised later and pissed off?
Surprised and pissed off.
Okay. When it comes to video, stick with the incandescent bulbs.
Okay.
For your own sake, and we'll discuss the ramifications of the compact fluorescence at another time.
Okay.
It's not the end of the world. It just takes a little bit of finesse.
Okay. All right.
Probably. Well,
thanks for the heads up. Yes. I still prefer to be pissed off most of the time.
By the way, if you can't find them used on Craigslist, a good spot to buy that kind of stuff, Amazon.
Yes.
And if you click through our site, on the link on our site, then Adam can buy more stuff on Craigslist.
Sure.
That's how it works out.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Again, to say one more thing about the continuous lighting, it's awesome. So the funny thing was, the guy selling me this stuff, he was going the other way. So he was like, I've done continuous lighting for a while, and he had a small place, and so he's just trying to get rid of as much stuff as he could. But he was like, I want to buy all the flash triggers, and I want, you know, he was all Nikon, so I was telling him about the Yong Nuo triggers, and he said, yeah, I think those are the ones I'm going to buy. And on and on and on we went. So it was funny that he was going the other direction. Not that I plan on doing it's not like I'm going to throw out my Yong Nuo triggers. I love them. And for a take and go, I just like grabbing two flashes and then the triggers. And then, I mean, there isn't much more portable setup than that. Mm-hmm. But as far as just another alternative, again, for the price point, I couldn't pass it up. I'm also hoping to get my children bunk beds and turn one of their rooms into a photo studio. So that's on my radar. I'm hoping. I think they're sold on getting bunk beds, and I'm good for maybe a couple years until they get old enough and realize, hey, what the hell? Why we want our own rooms again? But right now they'd prefer, I think, to be together than apart. So
wonderful.
I'm thinking I might squeeze 2 years out of having a little photo studio in one of their rooms.
And when that day happens, it's, hey, who wants to live in a tent?
Yeah, why not?
We'll put a tent in the driveway.
Yeah, soon I'll be blowing out a wall between their two rooms and just making one super room for my photo studio.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds like the plan.
Yeah, so there you go.
Great.
How about you?
I played softball.
Oh, okay, moving on.
The whole German baseball league, plural, had the weekend off for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why we just take this weekend off, but this is the weekend that our team throws a big softball fun slow pitch tournament at our park.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah. I did that, and that's I didn't think I was going to play in that. I got asked to play on a team, and I did. So I know I'm painting a picture kind of like, you know, J.D. Salinger does, like a word picture.
Yes.
So that's it. You can imagine what happened.
Pictures? There. Was there pictures?
I did. Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's just talk about, did you shoot anything interesting? Cause you already talked about yours. I shot a little at the softball tournament.
Okay.
Day one was a little overcast. And so here and there, so it was okay. And I didn't shoot too much. I just brought my 40D with the 70 to 200. Cause I knew I'd, you know, want to catch close-ups of people playing ball. But generally, most of the people that I know, like my friends on the team, mm-hmm. were basically playing at the same time I was. Either we were playing against them or they were playing on the other field. And so, like, at the same time as me, and so I was too busy playing to shoot pictures.
Right.
But the first day was a little bit cloudy, and we snapped some, and then one of which I'll show you, actually. A couple are part of the challenge this week. And then the second day was very sunny. All of a sudden, the sun came out.
Okay.
And so you can imagine that at noon o'clock with people wearing baseball hats, it's just a great time for photos.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I did snap a few, but I knew that it would be unideal. So I took the same setup, but I did throw the quarter black Pro Mist on just sort of bring up the shadows a little bit and kind of flatten the image out, lower the contrast a little, just to get a fighting chance, and it ended up working out pretty well. So I recommend using it in that situation.
Okay.
So there's that. The only real one of the real rubs with the Pro Mist is I have a 72 millimeter Pro Mist and a step up ring to get it onto my 67 millimeter lens. Like the 70-200 lens is a 67 millimeter thread wind on.
Right.
When I use that step up ring to make it fit, it works fine, but the lens hood doesn't fit on. So,
okay.
And with the added filter, you're looking at a lot more, lot bigger chance, a greater chance of lens flare. So you either have to be very, very aware of that or use it to your advantage and pretend like that's what you meant.
Right.
Which is what I did.
Okay.
So there you go. So that's about it for what did I shoot anything interesting.
Okay, then.
The answer is no.
Photo challenge?
Photo challenge. Isolation. Opposite of context.
Right.
I should probably bring those up on the screen so I can see them while we're doing them.
Okay, me too.
Yeah, I hadn't thought. I got so wrapped up in your continuous lighting story that I forgot what we were doing.
Yeah, it happens. I'll put it in my best of continuous lighting stories book that's coming out soon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait for that. All right, so isolation, the opposite of context. Because as we discussed, my context photo last week was a rousing failure.
Right.
Everybody agrees that it was just awful.
Yes.
So even the people who are in it and they like them didn't like it. So there you go. So this week.
Okay. Context.
Last week was context. Come on now.
No, I'm just... Okay, so who's going first?
You go first. I got a bunch to talk about. So let's have a look at yours first because this is your continuous lighting.
This is continuous lighting and I shot it with my wife about 3 feet from a door. So
did she slam her hand in the door?
No, she just wanted to show off. She had just had her nails done. So her and Sarah went and got their nails done yesterday. So she really wanted to highlight the nails. And I thought, okay, let's just bring them into the frame. And I kind of liked it. So there we go. But the whole point of it, to make it a isolation shot, is I shot her with the 85 millimeter, I think on f2.0, really close to the door so that, I mean, you can see kind of some of the door if you look for it. Like, you wouldn't know it's a door unless you're really trying to make sense of it, but some of the dark edges in behind her.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, didn't want it to look like a door, wanted it to look more like a gray background. And so there you go. And in order to bring her, again, isolate her, so to speak, from the colors, which are similar, is I used one of the continuous light softboxes in behind and to her right, so camera left,
mm-hmm.
To create the rim lighting both on her hair, her face, and her shoulder, so you'd get that separation.
Got it.
So this is two lights, both of the continuous lights with the big, long, you said complex fluorescence they are, mm-hmm. those lights. And so they're just feathered. So one's feathered sort of in behind her a bit, that's getting the rim light on her. And then the other one is feathered in front of her. The key light is feathered in front of her. So this is no Photoshop whatsoever. And only thing that was adjusted in aperture was just white balance. That's it. Nothing else. So okay. I love how soft this light is. This is tremendously nice light. Like, again, for shooting children, adults, anybody, I can't say how thrilled I was. And again, I really just wanted to create that tiny little shadow under her nose so I could place that perfectly and see it through the lens. Mm-hmm. So again, another nice upside to the continuous lighting.
Absolutely. Now, there are downsides to it, like portability and all that stuff, and using it outside and all that, but for these kinds of things, it's fantastic.
Yes, and so there you go.
Coupled with the high ISO capabilities now, forget it. It's a no-brainer. It's great.
So there you go.
Good. Love it. I love the fact that it is isolated. Besides the lighting, just the F2.0 does exactly what we talked about, is getting rid of that background. I mean, you could have, obviously you did this on purpose, but even if you're just being lazy, you can get rid of that quite quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else to say. I mean, the only thing I would ask you is, what is the color temperature and the white balance? Do you remember?
No.
Okay. Because it's coming in just a little bit cool. Maybe you wanted it cool. This is the thing with the compact fluorescence, is I really don't know where they burn at on the Kelvin. And I don't think they know.
Right.
Like, it used to be, like, incandescent used to be roughly 3,200, and daylight's 5,600, give or take. And you could kind of figure that out, but then compact fluorescence kind of come in the middle somewhere, and it depends which ones you buy. You can buy the daylight ones or the warmer ones or whatever it is, and so now you're kind of at the mercy. But again, this is really just nitpicking, and the only reason I bring it up is to, you know, make sure you look for it in the future to know that it's not okay. not a set thing.
Okay.
All right. Let's have a look at mine. This is the one of my son Sam with, the only one with my son Sam. There you go. I have a couple more I'm going to talk about, but this is the challenge one for this week. There you go.
Okay.
Done.
What was it? A pair of pants on his head? What's on his head?
It is my daughter's pajamas.
Nice.
Yeah. So whenever, the quick story behind this is whenever I try to, you know, when you have like a 2-year-old, you have to sort of convince them to do stuff.
Right.
And even if you ask them to do stuff, they'll just do the opposite, turns out. And so whenever I'm trying to get her to put her pajamas on, I always have, you know, oftentimes I'll make a joke of it, and I'll put them on my head first as if it's my hat.
Okay.
And trick her, and then get her to wear them, and she loves that. And so the other day when she woke up, she decided to whip her pajama bottoms off and stuff them on her brother's head.
Sweet.
Yes. So he seemed okay with it, actually. But I quickly grabbed my camera, which I had. Now, I have the 5D Classic with the 85 on it, pretty much just sitting in my drawer, ready to go at any given time.
Right, okay.
For opportunities just like this. And so I knew right away, boom, this not only was this the shot that I wanted, I knew I was going to shoot it. I was going to shoot it this way anyway. I didn't shoot it specifically because of the photo challenge, but I knew I could use it for the photo challenge. There's a lot of clutter going on in the house, especially when you have two kids.
Right.
And the clutter doesn't look good. So I knew I was just going to shoot this at f1.8. So the camera sits in my drawer on f1.8 at ISO 320, ready to go for just this scenario. So I ran and grabbed it, jumped down on the floor, and snapped away. Got this in 3 shots. This was the first one, but snapped 2 safeties. And that's it.
Okay.
And I wanted to do something very, very simple, like it very, very indicative of how we normally shoot, how we isolate, because it's one thing to be able to, you know, set up your background and all that. That's great. You have a lot more leeway. But so many times you're shooting and you don't have a choice. Like when you're shooting pictures of your kids, you can't get them to sit still, or they're playing or whatever it is. And so more often than not, that's when I'm isolating the background by using f1.8.
Right.
And so that's what this is. That's all window light coming in that you see.
Nice.
The end.
Okay. I like it. I don't have any criticism. It's again, it's a nice shot. I knew that those are pants. My kids, once upon a time, liked to play that game too. They still like to throw random things on their head if they think it's funny, and play in the laundry too, especially the dirty laundry. They love that.
Always
so.
The dirty laundry.
Yeah, there yes. you go.
So there you go. That's and the whole background there, the kitchen and all that, would just take away from the shot. So that's why it's out.
Great.
Let's have a look at the next. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I forgot. I mean, do you have anything else to say on the picture?
Not that one, no.
Okay. I was just going to bring up from last week, continuation to the saga of the whole aperture not working, how I solved it for anybody.
Let's get to that
anybody.
In a second.
Okay. Sorry.
Do you have a couple more isolation samples to show?
Okay, because we didn't get it. We didn't get how to
isolate. I want to show the exact, a different technique. So I'm at the softball tournament. As I spoke about.
Okay.
And you know, here's a guy who plays on my team, and American dude.
Okay.
And he was watching one of the games, and I just saw, hey, boom, I'm going to snap a photo of him, just a candid one, to give an example of isolation. And so this is at 200 mils on my 70 to 200 lens. I racked it all the way to 200 so I can get the maximum blur.
Yeah.
And F4, again, that's as far as that lens opens, and snapped away. And boom, now it's a pretty decent job of isolating the background. You do see background in the shot.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I don't find it to be tremendously distracting.
Okay.
I decided, hey, I'm going to go ahead and snap a shot at F16 at 70 or 75 mils. So the depth of field is going to be much, much greater, just to show you the difference. And there you go. That's the next shot you see. I find that to be way more distracting.
Yes.
And so hence, that's a great way to, great use of isolation in just a quick snapshot. This wasn't set up at all.
Right.
And then I got one more sample because you have to have three total. That's the rule of thirds. I think you know it.
Okay.
Now this is one I didn't take. Obviously, I'm in the shot, but I set it all up for my wife. I put the lens, again, 72 to 200, put it at 200 mils, told her to stand back, and got it all set up at F4, and snapped a photo of me and my daughter at the softball tournament.
Okay.
Now, in the background there was really nothing in the way of good context. I mean, I think that might be the ambulance, because they always have an ambulance on hand, because in case somebody gets hurt playing softball, I guess.
Right.
But like they have like whatever our version of the St. John's ambulance is.
Okay.
They have that here. And then I guess people drinking beer on the left-hand side. But whatever it is all distracting and didn't really scream softball tournament. So I knew we would try to blur that out and just keep the focus on my gorgeous smile and my kid's goofy face.
Right.
So there you go. So those are all the samples from isolation this week.
Okay.
Before you say I'm overcompensating for last week, you're probably accurate. Yeah. So there you go. So your aperture's broken. We hinted
it
at
was.
It. We didn't go into it last week too much, did we?
I can't remember.
No, and that was like a day and a half ago.
Yeah. But basically, if anyone out there is using Aperture or a like program and this were to happen, like I could not open Aperture whatsoever. It said that there was an error in my library, and so that library encompasses about 170 gigs worth of photos.
How many? Is this the only library you've ever had?
No. But it's probably a year and a half's worth. So it's probably 2013 until current. Okay,
really?
So
it's
let's
that
say because I save out previous years in JPEGs and then just get rid of all the raw files.
Really?
Yeah. Once I'm done with it, once they've been used for everything, I just save them out as JPEGs on external hard drive, and I have like 2012 all month by month categorized in folders, but all as JPEGs. I have no need for the RAWs. I'm done with the RAWs at that point.
Wow.
So what happened was, so I've got all my 2013 to 2014 current, and I can't get into the library. So it says there's an error in the library. So what I had to do was I had to go into basically into my backups, because my hard drive isn't big enough to just go into my Time Machine on Apple, but into my archive of all of my saved backups.
Uh-huh.
And restore it back to my regular hard drive, because at that point now I don't have enough hard drive space, because it's only a 500 gigabyte main hard drive. So what I had to do is I had to basically get rid of the entire current Aperture library.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to save out from my backups to an external hard drive that 175 gigs, just to test it to make sure it would open an Aperture. And so everything worked fine. And so what I ended up doing was just saying, okay, I'm going to leave all of what I was working on up until present on an external hard drive. And Aperture, you can just open it from the external hard drive. It runs a little slower because it's not on the hard disk you're working from.
Sure.
But at the same time, it's very, very minor, the difference. But then I figured, hey, now I've got a couple hundred gigs of free space on my hard drive. I'll just start fresh. So now I'm starting 2014 May fresh, and I'm going to work from there. And this was kind of a roundabout way to speeding up my computer.
That's good job.
So I hope that was clear.
Well,
for
so you got past the corrupt file essentially by, you figured the corruption occurred in the last week or so.
Yeah, because I never had a problem prior to that.
Right, so you just basically, were there any changes, any photos that you lost from the last couple of weeks?
I don't think anything that was important. Maybe a couple from Easter, because I restored back. I went back just around to Easter, because mm-hmm. I didn't shoot a lot of photos between Easter and present. And the ones that I wanted, like for my daughter's birthday, were still on the card. Mm-hmm. So I hadn't deleted the card. So I had the Playland picture still on cards. And so I just ended up going back about 3 weeks, restoring from there. And then I just basically imported the pictures again that were on the card. So the only pain in the butt was I have to re-edit maybe 200 pictures. So
sure.
Nothing that's gonna break me or anything.
Definitely no fun, but the alternative would, you know, if you lost all your photos, that would be less fun.
Yeah. Yeah, so I lost nothing, and now I'm happy because I've got a lot of space on my hard disk, which will help in the speed of aperture running. So that will help me in another way. Yeah,
it does. Yeah, I do the same sort of thing where I do it every year. I create a new aperture library.
Right, and then do you just keep the full previous aperture library just on an external, or do you do the JPEG thing?
No, I keep all the raw files.
You do, eh?
I do. Oh, it comes up for me, though. It definitely comes up where I need different variations for things, you know.
From 2 years ago?
Oh, from 5 years ago. It comes up, I wouldn't say frequently, but enough to keep the raw files, yes.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep all of 2013 as raw, because this is the first time I've done it this way, mm-hmm. and because I have a 2 terabyte external on top of a 1 terabyte external, all that don't have a ton on them, I'm going to keep the entire 2013 aperture library for a year. If I never use it in a year, I think I'll just end up turning them into JPEGs.
But the price of a 1 terabyte external drive is slightly north of zero now, I think.
Yeah, that's true too. So you've got a good point.
So let's say you shoot 100 gig of raw files a year, which seems high. I mean, I do, but that includes all my pro stuff that I end up having to keep as well.
Right.
But yeah, let's say you shoot 100 gig a year of keepers,
which I do.
Because I edit down. I used to shoot that much or more. And then once I found that I start, you know, if I stay on top of my editing, which I'm about 2 weeks behind, which is the furthest I've been behind in like 3 years, 2 years,
right.
Probably 2 years. I never try to get more than a week behind. But if I go and delete all the ones I know I'm never gonna see, like if I have 10 pictures of the same thing,
yeah,
I'll throw 9 of them out and keep that one. And so I tend to keep my libraries relatively tight. So, you know, probably around 100 with some of the pro work and stuff. Maybe, you know, let's say it's 100. That's 10 years on one terabyte drive.
Right.
So that's really, I mean, of course, you have to keep in mind, I hope it's not on the one drive. I hope it's in two places.
Right, yeah.
Which mine are actually in 3 places. And I think we've talked about this before, but I keep versions here and I keep them in Canada as well. Not for the international aspect of it, just to have it on 2 separate physical locations.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, my wife goes year to year and makes like a book for each kid about all the pictures. And so if everything were to get destroyed and I was to lose everything, it still would not be the end of the world. We've got hard copies of all the stuff that I mm-hmm. would really intend on making hard copies of.
Mm-hmm.
So it really isn't that big of a deal. But yeah, I do tend to do the same. And not I'm not going to store any in Germany, but I do have them saved in different locations.
Yeah. Yeah, let me know. I know a place up in the mountains where they used to, well, they had the missile program, the Peenemünde. They have a big area there. You can store them in the mountain caves.
Great. All right.
Just kidding. I don't do that.
Okay.
Yeah. So there you go. So all's well, though. The moral of the whole story is you had backups.
Keep a backup.
Oh.
Yeah, keep a backup.
Absolutely. Because,
sure.
Man, would you be crying if you didn't have a backup.
Absolutely. And it didn't seem like there was an easy workaround. I went on to the forums and looked at, you know, this error, and nobody had a simple solution a simpler solution than what I did,
right.
Which is just, hey, have a backup, delete the whole thing, and start again.
Now, that's the thing is I also do the same thing where I keep them all in an aperture library, more out of simplicity than anything, which is funny because we're going to talk about simplicity on, for today's topic. But you can also basically put them all the RAW files physically into a folder or anywhere you want and tell Aperture just to access them.
Right.
So if you want to manage them yourself, and that way if you do get a corrupt file, it's not going to corrupt your whole library, and you could avoid this situation. But then now you have to manage where you keep all your files.
Right.
And so I'm not really a big fan of that. I have enough clutter as it is. I would like Aperture to just handle that.
Right. That makes sense.
Of course, in the next few months, I might make the move to Lightroom anyways.
Wow.
Just because I've been seeing more and more images coming out of Lightroom that just look fantastic.
Okay. So, maybe they're better at taking pictures than you are.
That's highly likely. But it's also what you can do. It's one of those things that, yeah, for the most part, Aperture has served my needs for what I do. But if I'm going to keep, you know, growing and becoming better, which is kind of the point,
right,
I think that's going to be Lightroom.
Okay.
Also, I'm pretty lazy to learn something new.
Yes.
So I might just, you know,
Stick with Aperture.
No, go back to iPhoto.
Oh.
I might just regress entirely. So that's an option. Is Microsoft Draw? Do they have that? Can I still paint?
Yeah.
Microsoft
Paint?
I
think they do.
I might just use the Paint, which would work great. This week's topic.
Simple.
It's the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid.
Right. Okay.
Irony being, I'm going to complicate this topic.
Great.
Yeah. No, actually not. So this week isn't necessarily a single photo tip, because I think we've given out a lot of those recently. But I find myself trying to go very, very simple lately.
Okay.
Why keep things simple?
Because oftentimes it doesn't need to be complicated.
Complexity is probably what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know.
I can't even think of it. See, it's so complex, I can't even think of the word. I'm the creativity killer. So I think we tend to overcomplicate things in general. Like at first, when you first started learning photography, I mean, mm-hmm. for you, it was Easy Street because you had this show, right?
Right.
But most people, when they first learn photography, it's very intimidating because it's kind of a complex procedure. Until you get a grasp of it and realize that it's not actually a complex procedure. It's a series of simple procedures put together that seem complex.
Okay.
Now, I mean, the idea of aperture, in terms of how much light comes in your camera, isn't that hard to grasp. The idea of shutter speed isn't that hard to grasp, and ISO a little bit harder, but not really that hard. And when you break them all down and make them simple, okay, and then you work very hard to simplify it so that you know exactly what's going on at any given time. You don't have to think about it. But once you work hard to simplify those things, I find that we just double down and add complicated bits to it.
I'm just listening to an argument going on in the back between one of my kids. I'm just
okay.
I'm just kind of tuning into whether or not I'm going to need to get involved here.
Okay, and one of them's saying continuous light, and one of them's saying no flash.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the way it is. Let's pour lemonade.
I was thinking less filling. What was the Miller Lite argument?
Tastes great.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look back on some of your earliest point and shoot photos. Like before you even learned anything about photography, you had a point and shoot camera, right? Digital camera?
Yes.
You still like those images?
Yeah.
They probably, like, technically your images now, I know for a fact, are far better.
Sure.
But there is a certain appreciation for the simplicity of those other ones.
Absolutely. And it's just moments capture.
Absolutely.
Right?
Now, the idea is you know, to capture those better, but to not overcomplicate them.
Yeah, you get with the point and shoot, you get the sort of technical, or especially in the absence of really understanding photography well, you get the bliss of just basically capturing moments without all the technical know-how.
Have you ever seen a guy walking down the street in kind of, you know, he's kind of got lousy, you know, rubbish clothes on, and just, you know, and he's, but he's whistling, he's smiling, and he's happy.
Yeah.
And I see that guy and I think, man, that guy must be so stupid. He doesn't know he's miserable.
Right.
Okay, that's a little overdoing it. But there is that sort of ignorance is bliss kind of thing where, yeah, you can just get on with your life and you don't, you know, you don't want to think about it. But once you start taking your digital SLR photos, and I do suggest you master it. Like, that's kind of the point of the show. But you master it so that you can forget about it, and it now becomes simple. But once you master, like, the exposure triangle, then you add flash. And guess what? Radically
it's
more...
It's better.
Oh, it's better. But it's radically more difficult, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean, it can be. And then you add flash, and then you add modifiers to those flashes. And it becomes even more difficult. There's more variables in there. And then you add more lights. Because, hey, what? Wait a second. I can't get by with only one off-camera flash. I need to have three of them and four of them. And pretty soon it gets out of hand. But here,
I agree.
Here's the thing. Like, I have three flashes I use, and I love them, and I use them quite often. Obviously, I love when I don't have to use them, like at all. I love it when I don't even have to use a bounce flash.
Right.
So the point there is, just because you have them, doesn't mean you need to use them.
Right.
So. Like, for example, you went to Playland that last week.
Yep.
You didn't bring any flash.
I did not.
Don't need them. Sometimes you need them. If it was super sunny, you might not have brought your camera. But if you did, you might have brought a flash, you know, to fill in those shadows.
Right.
But you wouldn't have brought all four of them.
Correct.
So it's in those situations where you don't really need to reinvent the wheel or build a better mousetrap or whatever it is.
Yeah, and in the essence of keep it simple, I mean, nowadays, again, that's a priority to me. I don't want to bring a flash to Playland. I would rather just have a day where the light is appropriate and keep it simple for exactly that reason, is I don't want to carry a bunch of stuff around. I don't want to have to worry about a whole bunch of extra variables. And so, yeah, I will just basically wait for the right opportunity or not bring my camera.
Absolutely.
The ultimate in keeping it simple.
Right. Which doesn't leave you off the hook from, you know, not learning how to take good pictures.
Right.
You know, there are times when you absolutely positively need to use all three flashes, but ideally you don't.
Right.
Have you ever been to like a wedding or an event where they're serving dinner and they give you a choice? You can have steak or fish.
Right. Yeah, I have.
You made that choice very quickly. Like, did it take you half an hour to decide?
No.
No. You make that. When you have those two choices, it's, oh, I have the fish. And by the way, I recommend the fish. Always get the fish at a wedding.
I'm not even going to question you on it.
Yeah.
You seem to be very confident, so.
Yes. Fish is energy food. You'll be dancing like a madman.
Okay.
If you eat fish. If you eat steak, you're going to have a nap. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But you decide quickly and you're happy. If you go to a restaurant that has like 100 items on the menu, you're there for 3 hours before you can decide on what you're getting to drink. And then even then when you get that, you're not happy with maybe I should have had the iced tea. Oh no, maybe I should have done that. And then it gets complicated.
Right.
Now, photography can be the same way. So don't throw your lights out. Or some of your lenses, they're nice to have. Keep them. But the main takeaway is, does the window light look good?
Maybe.
Maybe. Well, if it does, just shoot it. Don't worry about augmenting it. Don't think, well, I'm a real photographer, uses lights. And so therefore, I'm in this wonderful situation with beautiful light, but I feel the need to use my lights. Just to make me seem like a pro. I've felt that before where I think, wow, man, if I just come out there and just shoot available light, they're going to think I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
And that's not the case. It's the ultimate, at the end, if the images look great, you know what you're doing.
Right. And I think, again, you get caught up more in that when somebody is paying, right? Because, again, when somebody's paying, there's an expectation. And it depends on if you worked for those people in the past and what did you do or what did you bring. So if you come out to a function and you've got lights and umbrellas and, you know, this big elaborate setup, and then the next time you come out with just your camera – again, regardless of the pictures, I think beforehand there's going to be, hey, you're kind of going on the easy route for this time. And so, again, if you've already established that this is the way you do things, then you have to be careful. I think in some ways. Now, again, if you still produce good images, then I think your client's going to be happy at the end of the day. But you have to sort of explain that to them, because I think there is sort of a really impressive feel to some of the gear that photographers bring along with them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other side of that, too, is I used to get this weird kind of feeling that if I brought a piece of equipment to a shoot, I better use it.
Right.
And so if, you know, hey, maybe I packed an extra lens just in case. Oh, I brought the 17-40, but there's no opportunity to use it. I better snap off a few photos just to, you know, justify its appearance.
Right.
That's silliness.
Agree.
Go for simple. Does your camera, let's say, another thing that kind of bugs me about this over complication of everything, does your camera need 6,500 different modes?
No,
it doesn't.
I'm gonna say no.
No, it doesn't. Most of these modes are nonsense. 18,000 autofocus points. It doesn't really need that. Sometimes it comes in very handy shooting sports photography and that stuff and whatnot. But this whole kind of arms race that, you know, it used to be megapixels and then it became autofocus points and then modes and ISO and all the stuff, all the race that the camera manufacturers are getting into. Again, overcomplication of things. Does your current camera work? If yes, don't buy a new one. That's my best advice to people. If you have a camera that's good and works, don't worry that it's 6 megapixels. If you have an old Nikon D40 and it still works great, keep using it. It's only 6 megapixels, but it's awesome. The best way to simplify your photographic life. Is there one thing? I wrote it down, so you should probably try to get it right.
Okay.
What if you could give people one tip on one piece of equipment to buy to simplify your photographic life, what would it be?
To simplify your photographic life. And you have a specific thing in mind.
Correct.
Oh, you go first, and maybe that will trigger something.
Well, there's only one answer, so buy a prime lens.
Oh, I see. I was thinking. See, right away, I was thinking about way more complex than that.
There you go.
I was thinking about the calibration for your monitor. But that's post-processing simplification.
That's true. That will actually that will at first complicate your life for at least 90 minutes until you figure it out, and figure out where everything goes and where all the profiles are saved and how often you should update it and blah 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 blah. But in the end, it will simplify your life. But right out of the gate, you know, there's one of the guys on my baseball team came up to me the other day and he showed me his new key. He just bought a new camera. Now, I don't know what it's called. I forget what it's called here, the something, whatever. I think it might be the T3. He might have got the T3 or the T3i. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And
T3i, I don't even think they sell the T3 anymore.
Whatever it was. I don't know. I didn't really pay attention. It was after the game and whatever. Not the point. But he's basically brand new to photography, young guy, knows approximately zero about photography. Doesn't speak very good English, and so we do our show in English, obviously, so that's not going to be of much help to him. But I'll help him in German if I can. Right. But he said to me, he showed me his camera, and I said, oh, that's a great camera. I mean, I've never used it, but I tell you right now, the cameras they make now are all great. Like, that's it. They're all great cameras. You can't buy, unless it's, you know, a name that no one's ever heard of, and it's from a guy, you know, on eBay that you meet at a Tim Hortons, you're probably going to get a good camera.
Right.
But he said, yeah, and you know, of course it came with the 18 to 55, and he said, oh yeah, and you know, the guy of course upsold him at the store. Hey, you know, I also have the 55 to 250 or whatever it is. And he said, hey, is it a good lens? And I saw that he didn't have the receipt. So I said, yeah, it's great. You know, what am I going to tell him? Oh, no, you wasted your money. Because he didn't waste his money. And I said, I told him honestly, I said, well, listen, here's the thing. It's a fine lens. There's nothing wrong with it. But do yourself a favor. Two things. First of all, take that lens out and use it. Use the heck out of it. Just beat it up and get as much out of it as you can. Get your $150 worth in the first 3 months and then throw it in the garbage. Learn as much as you can using it and, you know, exhaust what you can from it and you'll move on.
I was going to say, maybe don't throw it in the garbage. If it still works, then maybe sell it on Craigslist and ask the exact price you paid for it.
And then write no tax at the bottom.
Firm.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had a UV filter on it since I left the store.
Yeah.
Yeah. So UV filter not included.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. No, but I'm telling him, like, just go and use it and don't worry about, you know, a lens cap or a UV filter. Just honestly, don't abuse it, but use it.
Right.
And that, I said, and my second bit of advice is buy the 50mm f1.8. You don't know anything about photography, buy yourself a prime lens.
Right.
It is simple.
Agreed.
Zoom complicates things. In fact, there's oftentimes now you did this at Playland. You left the house without a zoom lens.
Absolutely.
I do this all the time. I recommend it to people. You will become a much better photographer if you remove as many complications as you can. Now, with this 55 to 250 lens, it's one of those ones that has the aperture of, I don't know, 3.5 to 5.6. So on top of the zooming, and you have to deal with the zooming, you now have to deal with an aperture that's going to change. Yet another complication. You don't deal with that with the prime lens, do you?
No,
you don't. So there you go. So if you don't have a prime lens, make your life simple. Buy a prime lens. Buy a 50mm lens. That's probably the one you should have if you don't have one yet. If you do have a prime lens, make sure you leave the house with only that prime lens and a camera, of course. Otherwise, it's kind of useless.
Right.
Except as a conversation starter on the SkyTrain. You're just holding your lens. But leave the house with just a prime lens when you go to an event. And
yeah, once in a while, just to try it.
Absolutely. And you're going to find, there's situations where, oh, geez, I wish I had the zoom. But you'll end up being creative, and you'll get much better photos out of it. I promise you that. Just because we can,
right,
we feel we must.
Yes.
There you go. That's the wrap-up of simplicity.
Very wise words.
Yeah. You know how I know they're wise?
Because I said them?
I wrote them down.
Oh.
And you said them. Next week's challenge, nothing to do with simplicity. We've done that before.
Okay.
I want to do a candid, so it's going to be a candid shot that shows emotion.
Okay.
Think we can do that?
I think I can do that. Okay.
And also, can't be continuous lighting, has to be a zoom lens, minimum four flashes.
Okay, no. What does it really have to be?
Candid emotion.
Doesn't matter about lighting or whatever.
Whatever you want.
I'm gonna make one of my kids cry. I'm gonna do it as soon as we get off the podcast. I'm gonna make one of my kids cry.
Would that be candid though?
Well, it'll be candid when they're crying and I step away.
Right. I think you'd have to get your wife to make them cry.
If I make her make them cry, is it still candid?
Oh my God, this is like a Schrodinger's cat situation. I don't know.
Okay, let's not worry about it. There'll be a crying child in my next photo.
Yeah, okay, you know what? Probably me too. Just in general. And it'll just be a situation of, hey, can I have ice cream? No, not for dinner. Boom. There you go. That'll be my wife, actually, crying. Because she loves peanut right. butter ice cream for dinner. Go figure.
Yeah.
Where can people find your photos, Adam?
Two Hosers, Facebook. I will post the Playland ones before this gets aired because we're recording this early.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd look forward to those. So they will be up. So what you're telling me is when you're hearing this, those will you have already seen them.
Yes.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Yeah. Now, because the reason you didn't post them was because of your aperture glitch.
That, and I was away for the last few days.
Right.
So.
I look forward to seeing those.
Okay.
And then that's about it. The rest of it I don't look forward to.
Okay. All right. Shorts, Two Hosers, Facebook. People who aren't on there, please go on there.
You should work for Coke or Pepsi or something with that salesmanship.
Yeah. That's how we close.
Always be closing, man.
Yeah.
Great. Check out my stuff at alanadridge.com and the two of us at twohosers.com where you can find all you want. Oh, I forgot to ask you real quick. We'll just do it really quick then at the end here. Did you see my Playland photo?
I did not.
It's on the website, man.
It's on our website. Yeah, yeah. Is it on Facebook too then?
No.
I haven't gone on our website for a couple weeks, and I haven't been on Facebook for at least, I don't know, a week. So I'm kind of out of touch.
Go to the Two Hosers website right now for last episode.
Okay.
And have a...
Should I do it this yeah, second do it this while second. We're still recording?
Oh, you have to.
Oh. Okay.
I'll vamp in the meantime.
I hope I'm not going to be wildly disappointed.
Oh, you are going to be disappointed. That's the whole point of it, though.
So how long ago has this taken?
2 years.
2 years ago?
Yeah, two summers ago when we were in Vancouver last with the family.
I'm on the Two Hosers website. There it is.
Right.
There it is. There. Oh, wow. My photo is way better.
It is. I told you it was. But this is the one that I told you was on a timer resting on a newspaper, like a Vancouver province newspaper box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know exactly where how this was done.
Yeah. And with a 30mm lens and blah blah blah, I want to get the Playland in. And I was going to retake it because of the, you know, the girl basically in the foreground staring into the lens.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought I kind of like it because it's very distracting and kind of funny because it's like she's looking at it like she's never seen a camera before.
Yeah, that water looks delicious.
So there you go. Two very different takes on the same photograph. Although mine was, I guess they both were context. But
yeah, no, this is definitely a context photo. So you got the Playland in there. Your angle can see the roller coaster as well.
Yes.
So the wooden roller coaster, which mine cannot.
No, no, that's why I didn't like yours. Yours was just a piece of garbage.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, I should have said the tricky thing about mine was that there's that's a major road, so traffic is going by constantly. Uh-huh. So I'm just snapping, hoping that I'm going to get one where there isn't a car in the background. So it took me about 10 tries before
the foreground. You mean?
No, for mine, because they're actually on the curb about to cross the street. So I'm trying to get it like no cars to go behind.
Oh, you. They're both on the far side of the street.
Everybody's on the other side of the street.
Oh.
Yeah, mine. Yeah. So the cars are going behind them, and so I don't want to see those cars. And so that's why mine was a little tricky, is that's a super major street, as you know.
Yes. Like, it sounds like you shot yours from Southwest Marine Drive and had to shoot basically across Vancouver.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, that's three lanes each way.
Yes.
Talk about not being simple, man. You just add a complexity right there.
There you go.
We should have talked about this at the top of the show when I had it marked in the notes. But I didn't know. We stayed right on the same side of the street on the plaza in front of the Playland there.
Right.
So that's where ours was. And I would not, if I was taking this photo, like looking through the lens myself, I would not frame it this way. But this was and also this was at the end of a long day at Playland with a 1-year-old.
Right.
Your idea of taking the photo on the way in, way better.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way better.
They want to do nothing but uh, be unhappy on their way out.
On the way out, yes. And there is that cotton candy crash that you're dealing with.
Yes, for sure.
And the fact that daddy can't knock over milk bottles, and therefore they don't have a 10-cent stuffed animal to take home.
Right.
So, working those milk bottles, buddy. All right, that's it.
So where are your pictures? I don't think we
said that. No, I said that, twohosers.com, where you can find all this stuff that we're talking about now.
Great.
That's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.